Well, it's a good day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful day because we're in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
The house of the Lord goes wherever we go, right?
Amen.
Because we are His temple, right? Our body is His temple. And we take care of His temple. Good things. So, Candace is going to bring us some good things right now. Come on, Candace, and sing us a song.
And this song is called Power of the Cross by Natalie Grant. And, I mean, I thank God for the cross. I thank God that He died for me. He died for you guys. And, I mean, it gets better and better every single day the more we think about it.
Amen.
Amen. Once in darkness, now in light. Once blind, now you see. Once a sinner, now a saint. Once bound, now free. That's the power of the cross.
Yes.
See the chain fall. That's the power of the cross. See the chains fall.
Tell y'all this morning that I didn't take of the cup at communion. I took the bread, but when I went to open the cup, I couldn't get it open.
Me and your brother.
And I tried and I tried and I tried, and you know, a little drop or two would come out and spill, and I thought, okay, we'll just stop, you know. And I was sitting there listening to the Candace sing, a beautiful song. It kind of hit me. How many of us are not taken of the cup? And I don't mean us in the room, I mean, you know, how many are, we're only eating the bread? We're only eating the bread. If the bread stands for the teachings of Jesus, all right, and the cup stands for the life, the spirit, you know, how many of us are only taking the teachings? Only taking the teachings, and we're not going on to know God through the Spirit. You know, we follow rules instead of following a person. It's just like the difference in the law and the new covenant, right? The law, they had a bunch of rules, right? The rules told them what God required. And people tried to keep the rules, keep the rules, keep the rules, instead of be like David and go, I want God, I want God, I want God. I can't keep the rules. I got to have God, because I can't keep the rules. You know, it's just kind of hitting me, you know, lately. And I was talking to a young Chinese Christian. And she was telling me, you know, a lot of the Chinese, she says, they want to know the teachings of Jesus, the rules, you know, that Jesus said. So if they do those rules, they'll get those benefits, you know. But they don't want to move on and become a Christian. You know, they just want to do what the things say. They don't want to become a Christian, because that requires such a change in their life, you know, and their culture and stuff. And it struck me that, so many of us, people in the United States are that way. We want to, I'll keep these Ten Commandments. I'll do these things. I'll go to church. I'll warm a pew. I'll do whatever. But don't talk to me about changing my life, changing my lifestyle, you know, changing my mind. You know, just let me do my thing. We need the life of the Spirit within us. Wow. And we need to follow that life.
Amen.
We need to follow that life. So anyway, just a couple of thoughts on that. We were reading Hebrews 9, and we're looking at the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. All right? So I'm going to back up and read verses 11 and 12 again, before we get started on today. But so this is Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So he is the high priest. Christ is our high priest of a better tabernacle. Now what tabernacle are we talking about? Are we talking about earthly tabernacle? Just made with hands? No. He is the high priest over a heavenly tabernacle. Because he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven. Okay. In verse 12 it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, that is, he didn't come in with the blood of goats and calves, the way the high priest does when he goes into the Holy of Holies. He says, I don't do that. He said, Jesus doesn't do that. He said, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption for us. Okay? That's what he obtained for us. Okay? So, anyone have anything they wanted to add last week that didn't get a chance to add on that? All right.
Once and for all.
Yeah.
Once and I believe he did it just not only for us collectively, but as individuals, knowing our name.
I think too that they was comparing it to the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they had to continuously do it over and over and over and right. over again. But Jesus did it once and for all for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That once and for all, let's don't just leave that too quickly, all right? Once is time. For all is people.
Yeah.
Okay? He did it once for all people.
Yeah.
All right? Those that were born and were living when he was alive and then when he died, but then for everyone who was going to be alive. Uh-huh. That includes you and me, right? Because mm-hmm. I wasn't around when he died. Mm-hmm. So he had to die for me mm-hmm. in advance.
Yeah.
Right? So he did it for all.
Oh.
For all. That is cool. That is
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I just want to give you a little introduction sort of thing that I thought, you know, when we're reading through this, we're looking at all the stuff in the heaven, the earthly tabernacle, and we're comparing it to things in the heavenly tabernacle. You know, we're talking about Christ as opposed to the earthly priest. Okay. And it occurred to me that the Jews, through their God-given customs and prophecies, were given clues so that they could determine that Jesus, when he came 2,000 years ago, could be recognized as the Messiah. So all of these things were happening that they remember, that they were doing, that the priests were doing, were for them to be able to recognize Christ when he came. All right, they were given to him. All these prophecies that he fulfilled, they were given there as a witness. They could go back to those prophecies, they could go back to their customs and say, who's Jesus? that means Jesus is the Messiah, because he meets all of these. So let's pick up in verse 13. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh." All right, so they would sprinkle this blood of these animals, and the sprinkling of the blood would sanctify to purify the flesh. Okay, so in other words, this blood came from a sacrificial animal, therefore the sacrifice that that animal made is being extended to purify the flesh. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works?"
Conscience, okay.
Okay. So now, instead of just instead of purifying the flesh like the blood of animals did, now what we're purifying? The conscience, you see. All right, so now we're getting even deeper into it, all right? Remember in Hebrews 6:1, it says, let us leave these elementary doctrines, all right, concerning repentance from dead works.
Yeah.
Where he said, here we're purging our conscience from dead works,
yeah.
All right? We're putting those dead works aside, all right? And it says, for this cause, because of this, because of that, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Okay? So here we go back, this redemption of the transgressions that were under the other one. Go back to verse 12, he talks about, hath obtained eternal redemption for us. Okay, so he's kind of repeating it, saying it a little bit different way. All right? So he's talking about this is what he got for us, eternal redemption, so that we could receive our eternal inheritance.
Yeah.
And we've gone over inheritance. We know what inheritance we get, right? So that's what he's getting. Inheritance, remember, inheritance cannot be taken away from you forever. It's yours. Right? It's yours forever. Okay. So he goes on, he says, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator lived. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Okay, so now he's talking about there was a need to have a death. There was a need to have blood. Okay, in the Old Testament, to get the blood that would purify the elements in the tabernacle, the cups and the candlesticks and all that sort of thing, in order to have that blood, you had to kill an animal to get the blood. It was necessary to fulfill the requirements of the first law, of the law. Okay? And now he's saying, well, there's also got to be a death. There's got to be blood to purify the elements in the heavenly tabernacle. Therefore, there has to be a death to get the blood. But who has to die? It has to be someone without spot, without blemish. Mm-hmm. You see, only Christ.
Yeah.
Only Christ. Christ. Only Christ. Okay. So he says, and for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. So he's sprinkling these things to purify them, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined unto you. He was doing the law to them. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Okay? So he was sprinkling everything. He was sprinkling the lampstands and, you know, all the vessels and stuff. So it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. All right, now these are the patterns of the things in the heavens. All right, in other words, the lampstand that was sitting in the holy place, the bowls, incense, all that sort of stuff, all these things were sprinkled with blood. It was necessary for them to be sprinkled with blood to be purified. He says, it was necessary, but the heavenly things. Now we're talking about the heavenly tabernacle, if you will. The heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Mm-hmm. It's got to be better than the blood of goats and bulls and all that. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. All right? There's no record that he ever went into the holy place in the temple. All right? But he went into the holy place in heaven. It says, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often. Again, this time thing, right? Doesn't repeat himself. As a high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Okay? So it's appointed for us once to die. And after that, the judgment. So also, it was appointed for Christ to die once to put away sin. We die once, and then comes a judgment for sin. He dies once to take away, to purify us, so that judgment doesn't fall upon us. Okay? So what I wanted to do is to point out a couple of things here. The Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament, we had the blood of animals. In the New Testament, what do we got?
The blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. In the Old Testament, the blood of the animals would purify what?
Fish.
The flesh, right? In the New Testament, it purifies the conscience, right? In the Old Testament, the things that were in the temple were dedicated with the blood of animals. These are the temple vessels, if you will. Were purified with the blood of animals. Mm-hmm. What happens in the New Testament? They're dedicated by Christ's death. Okay? Dedicated by Christ's death. The temple vessels are who? Who are we now? Our body, yeah. That is us. Christians, okay? This is not working at all, is it? Well, never mind. Always come prepared, folks. Not the one.
I'll use that one. Yeah. Stay there.
This is the one. All right, here we go. All right, here we go. We're dedicated by Christ's death and our death by baptism. Okay? We recognize Christ's death. We die with Him. And we take up our cross daily and follow Him. It is no longer I who live, but
Christ is in me.
And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That, in a nutshell, tells us so much about the New Testament. And finally, the blood of the animals purified earthly copies of heavenly things. These were just copies of heavenly things. Whereas in the New Testament, the blood of Christ actually purifies the heavenly things. What are these heavenly things? It is purifying. What corresponds to those vessels in the new, in heaven of the New Testament? Well, that's a good question. I'll let y'all ponder that one. I'll let you ponder that. I do want to say this, though. I'll read in Colossians 2:12 real quick. We're buried with Him in baptism. We're in also, you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead. And in Romans 6:3-8, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We take a part in that when we're baptized. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, when we come out of that baptism pool, we are walking a new life. It's not the same old life. We got a new life. Okay, so I wanted to kind of repeat. The Jews, through their God-given customs and prophecies, were given clues so they could determine that Jesus, when He came 2,000 years ago, could be recognized as the Messiah. We also are given clues so that we perhaps we can recognize the second coming of Jesus and not be in fear like those who think it may be an alien invasion or an enemy attack. You know, when He comes back, they're going to go, oh no, it's the aliens, finally, you know. Oh, it's the enemies, you know. Looking at the warnings given us, we should be ready to receive Him when He appears in the incorruptible flesh. We should not be caught off guard or unprepared, the 10 virgins. We should not run and hide in shame for what we were doing or were not doing, but rather welcome Him with rejoicing. He warned us, be watchful, because you don't know when I'm coming back. be watchful. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Right? Remember the virgins that were in darkness? Because their lamps run out of oil. Matthew 24:4-5, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We need to get smart. We need to get to know Christ. All right? Know him spirit to spirit. Matthew 24:23-25, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. We're going to have to be on our toes. We're going to have to really be on our toes to know God. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord had made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Who are we supposed to give their meat in due season? Who are we supposed to do that with? Those we have influence with. Those we're discipling into Jesus. Those we're helping to mature in Christ. Those we're helping to bring to Christ.
Yeah.
Those in our lives that we have influence over. We have influence over people in our lives. They know us, all right? They trust us.
Yeah.
So what we say to them is important,
yeah.
Right? And we need to be careful that we are saying the right things, okay? Giving them their due meat in the right season.
Wow.
All right? Amen. So, praise the Lord. It's good. He's coming back. We're going to be ready. All right. Amen. Because we're people of the new covenant. The new testament. Yeah. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the food that you've allowed people to set before us. We thank you for them. We ask your prayers and your blessings to be upon them. We pray for all the ones that, Father, that are doing your will, Father, and strive to do your will today. We pray for our leaders, our governmental leaders, for our pastors. We pray that the word of God may go out today in every sermon that's preached today. And we thank you for that, Father. Amen. All right. Go get some breakfast.